Many blessings to you all and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is Luke chapter 4, verse 22 to 30. The Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 4, verse 22 to 30. Everyone spoke well of him and was amazed by the gracious words that came from his lips. "How can this be?" they asked. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" Then he said, "You will undoubtedly quote me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself,' meaning do miracles here in your hometown like those you did in Capernaum. But I tell you the truth, no prophet is accepted in his own hometown. Certainly, there were many needy widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the heavens were closed for 3.5 years, and a severe famine devastated the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them. He was sent instead to a foreigner, a widow of Zarephath in the land of Sidon. And many in Israel had leprosy in the time of the prophet Elisha, but the only one healed was Naaman, a Syrian." When they heard this, the people in the synagogue were furious. Jumping up, they mobbed him and forced him to the edge of the hill on which the town was built. They intended to push him over the cliff, but he passed right through the crowd and went on his way. My theme for reflection is when familiarity blocks the blessing. When familiarity blocks the blessing. There is something heartwarming about going home, especially if you have been away a long time. You expect hugs, home-cooked meals, maybe a few embarrassing stories told by a relative who still sees you as a child. But Jesus' homecoming did not go quite like that. Instead of casseroles and congratulations, he got suspicion, resistance, and a crowd ready to haul him off a cliff. So much for a warm welcome. In Luke 4, 23 to 30, Jesus stands in the very synagogue where he likely learned to read, among people who had watched him grow up. Their initial reaction is amazement. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they ask. On the surface, it sounds like wonder, but underneath it brews a sense of ownership. After all, if Jesus is bringing good news, shouldn't we, the hometown crowd, get the first and best of it? But Jesus does not perform miracles on demand. He does not indulge their spiritual nationalism. Instead, he reminds them of two moments from Israel's history when God's blessings bypassed insiders and landed squarely on outsiders: a widow in Zarephath and a Syrian named Naaman. The suggestion that God's favor might rest on people outside the boundaries of the synagogue, outsiders, Gentiles, them, is too much for the crowd to bear. This perhaps is the problem Jesus is exposing: entitlement. The belief that because we know Jesus or think we do, we deserve special treatment. That we can call the shots on where grace flows, who deserves miracles, and what kind of people the gospel should benefit. It is the belief that God is for us, but not necessarily for them. Jesus refuses to play along. Instead, he makes it clear: the kingdom of God does not work on favoritism, it works on mercy. And mercy moves freely across lines of ethnicity, class, status, and proximity. No prophet is accepted in his hometown, Jesus says, because prophets are never content to just confirm what we already believe. They challenge it, they widen the circle, and that kind of grace can feel like a threat to those of us still clinging to our sense of religious exclusivity. As Willie James Jennings has commented, the deepest resistance to Jesus comes not from strangers, but from those who think they know him best. The people of Nazareth knew Jesus as a boy. They watched him grow, perhaps played alongside him and saw him work with his hands as Joseph's son. Yet they could not grasp the fullness of the Spirit now at work through him. They knew his name, but not his mission. And when that mission challenged their expectations and extended God's grace beyond their circle, they rejected him. This moment powerfully illustrates the old saying, familiarity breeds contempt. How often do we disregard the voices of those closest to us, not because they lack wisdom or purpose, but because we believe we have already figured them out. We presume to know their limits, their story, their worth. In truth, many are not silenced by strangers but by their own families, communities or churches, pushed aside by jealousy, pride, or an unhealthy sense of ownership. We say, that is just so and so. We know them, forgetting that God often uses the familiar to accomplish the extraordinary. This dynamic shows up not just in public or religious spaces, but also in our personal relationships. In marriages, friendships, and families, we sometimes take the people we love most for granted. We stop seeing their depth. We stop listening with curiosity. Instead of honor and tenderness, we respond with dismissal or even disdain. What once inspired us now feels common, not because it has lost value, but because we have stopped looking with wonder. God's calling on someone's life does not diminish just because we have grown accustomed to them. Sometimes it is precisely the people we think we know best who carry a message we most need to hear. But this passage is not a blanket excuse for those who have risen to prominence and let that success inflate their pride. It is not meant to defend those who have become so arrogant and self-important that even their own people, once supportive, can no longer recognize them. Jesus was not rejected because he was boastful or self-seeking. He was rejected because he refused to shrink his mission to fit the narrow boundaries of local favoritism. The contempt shown to Jesus came not because he elevated himself, but because he elevated others, the poor, the foreigner, and the outsider. His text then invites a careful question. When the gospel disrupts our sense of entitlement and exposes our desire for exclusive blessing, do we still receive it? When it favors the hungry over the full, the forgotten over the familiar, do we still call it good news? The truth is, Jesus still defies our preferences. He still proclaims release in places we would rather ignore. He still anoints the unexpected, speaks through the overlooked, and moves through the margins, not because he despises the familiar, but because his mission will not be contained by it. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, are there people or groups you assume are less deserving of God's grace than others? Why? Number two, how might your familiarity with Jesus, your traditions, background, or church culture be hindering your openness to the broader scope of his mission? And now our practical exercise. Find one practical way today to extend love or generosity to someone outside your usual circle, someone whose background, beliefs, or social position challenges your comfort. Let it be an act of grace that asks nothing in return. God of all mercy, forgive us when we try to limit your love. Forgive us when we act as though your grace is our possession, rather than a gift to be shared. Give us hearts open to your mission, hands ready to serve beyond our boundaries, and voices that proclaim good news to all people, especially those the world forgets. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.